Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Paul said, we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection. There is something that God is releasing. There is a hope that he is releasing on the earth through the resurrection. He's bringing us to life. He's given us new life. So today I want to tell you, come alive. Can you look at somebody and say, come alive? Just say that to me one time real loud. Come alive. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago, is Jesus came alive. And he wants us to come alive. I want to read you a little bit of the resurrection story out of Mark 16. And it says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome went out to purchase burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. And on the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Then they entered the tomb. They saw a young man clothed in white robe sitting on the right side. And the women were shocked. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Amen. Mary, the mother of James, Mary Magdalene, and Salome were looking for one thing, but they found something completely different. I'm thankful today that they found something different than they were looking for. Is anybody happy that they found something different? They had one set of expectations, but they found something far greater. Sometimes in our faith walk, we're looking for one thing while God wants to show us something completely different. We have expectations of him. We come to him, but then God wants to broaden our faith. We come to him one way, and thank God we leave another. When we come into God's presence, he changes us, and we leave different. We have one expectation when we come in, and we have a different thought process when we leave. The women that approached the tomb had one set of expectations, one set of thought processes, one level of faith, but they left changed. There are moments in your faith journey when you'll come to God with one expectation and he'll turn that expectation upside down. The women came to the tomb expecting death, but the tomb was empty. Amen? Amen. They discovered new life. They discovered new strength. They discovered new faith. And somebody needs to hear that today. Maybe you suffered loss. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel broken. Maybe you feel hurt. Maybe you feel pain from the past, pain from what you're going through. I want to tell you that there's new life. There's fresh strength. There's a risen Savior that loves you. There's a Holy Spirit that will walk with you and empower you. This is the story of hope. The resurrection is the story of hope. It's a question of what does God want you to discover in this season? How does God want to broaden your experiences? There's some things that look dead, but God is saying it's not dead. There's some things that they look dormant, but God is saying I'm bringing it back to life. What dreams seem dormant? What hopes seem dormant? What beliefs seem dormant that God wants to bring to life? Sometimes we come to him and all we have is messed up emotions. When the women showed up at the tombs, that all they had was messed up emotions and religion. emotions that were all over the place and a religious expectation, but they left with faith and a broader perspective. What greater faith does God want to give you today? How does God want to broaden your perspective in this season to cause you to walk in a greater way into your purpose? Sometimes we have to acknowledge that there's obstacles. Anybody ever had obstacles in your life? You know, health obstacles, employment obstacles, career obstacles, relational obstacles. Can I get an amen? Relational obstacles. When the women came to the tomb, there was a large stone that needed to be rolled away. There was a very real obstacle in their way of getting to Jesus and doing the things on their heart that they had intended to do. There's an obstacle. Somebody say that with me. There's an obstacle. But here is the great thing. Even though we have obstacles that are real and perceived, I want to tell you, this is a season when God is rolling away obstacles out of your life. Can I tell you that prophetically? Can I speak that over your life today? Maybe that's what you came and you needed to hear today, that God is about to roll away obstacles out of your life. Some things that have been blocking you, some things that have been delaying you, some things that have been keeping you from your potential in God and in life. God is saying, I'm going to roll those things away. And here's the amazing thing. Is before the women even reached the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. God is already working on your behalf. God is already moving obstacles out of your way. God is already working for your good. He's got good plans for you. And even though you don't see it yet, He's already moving obstacles out of your way. And that's the thing about faith, right? If you'll just start taking a step in the direction of Jesus, He's going to start to move things. See, sometimes we get bottlenecked because we say, well, I'm not going to move until the obstacle moves. But that's not the way that it works. You see, we got to move in faith first, and then God is going to move obstacles. The women started moving before they even saw that the obstacle was gone. How many know when they needed to cross the Red Sea, they had to start moving in faith, and then things begin to happen. Moses had to step out in faith, and then things started to happen. He had to raise his staff, and then things started to happen. What steps do you need to take in this season towards your purpose? What steps do you need to take in this season in the direction of Jesus? And I promise you, if you move in the direction of Jesus, things will move. Come on, look at somebody and say, things will move. Things will move. Things will move. The women came looking for one thing, but God wanted to give them something different. So He sent them a message. They came into the tomb and they see an angel there, a messenger. And the messenger had a message to broaden their perspective, to change their thought process. God wants to give you a new revelation about your journey in Him, about your journey in life, about your journey in your purpose. God wants to give you a new revelation about your journey. And I'm thankful for the moments in my life when I was headed one direction and God intercepted me, gave me a message and say, hey, go this direction instead. Anybody thankful for the moment that you've received some kind of message or some kind of messenger that said, hey, look, I know you thought this way, but God has something greater for you over here. That's what happened to the women. They had their mind fixated on this. They had their mind fixated on death, on loss. They had their mind fixated on pain. And the angel gave them a message and redirected them in a greater path. That's what God wants to do for you in this season. He wants to give you a message and redirect you into greater things. What is the message God wants to give you today? Who is God sending to speak to you in this season to give you that aha moment? What fresh insight do you need to walk in a greater way in your purpose? I want to tell you, God is sending you a message. God is sending you a message. He's rolling away obstacles and he's sending you a message. He's going to give you the clarity and the perspective that you need. And I'm so thankful that the women received the message that was sent to them. I'm thankful that they received that. The story would have ended differently if they didn't receive the message. Their perspective was forever changed. Their faith went to a new level. And when Jesus, then it says he brought everybody together a little bit later in Matthew 28. He sent the message, he removed the obstacles, and then he brings everybody together. And he came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can I tell you, I'm so thankful that we don't have to do what God calls us to do alone. He's going to go with you. He said, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you always, even till the ends of the earth. Sometimes we think about what God has placed in our lap and we say, man, this is so much. It's so big. But here's the thing that gives us comfort is that it says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's going to walk with us. Even to the end of the age, he's going to be with us. Even when you look at your part of what God's plan and said, this is so big, I don't know if it's too much, he's going with you. Right. He's going to help you do it. When he gives you a vision and you say, man, this is daunting. I don't know how I'm going to raise the money. I don't know how I'm going to jump out. I don't know how I'm going to have the faith to do this. I don't know if I'm going to have the boldness to do this. God is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in the vision. I'm going to be with you in the purpose. I'm going to be with you in the journey. And I'm so thankful we don't have to do it alone. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a coach. I'm going to send you somebody that's going to help you open your eyes to all truth. He's going to be the perfect guide, the perfect companion. And Jesus lays out, and this is for us. This is for disciples. He lays out this responsibility to share the good news to others. We sang about it today. It's beautiful. This is the good news. Jesus lays out this responsibility to share the good news with others, to tell the story, and to talk about the teachings of Jesus. He told his disciples to go make new disciples and teach those new disciples everything he taught them. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed by what it means to follow Jesus. But even though it stretches us, it blesses us. Even though it stretches us, it blesses us. Do you believe that? That even when you feel stretched by God, you're going to be blessed by God. And so when we do things that God asks us to do, he will be with us. We won't have to do it alone. When we share our faith with others, we don't have to do that alone. When we walk with others that are just learning the faith, we don't have to do that alone. Jesus challenged his disciples, watch this, to go higher. He challenged them, go higher. Don't just spectate. Follow. He invited them to follow, truly follow, to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's what Jesus challenged his disciples, to go higher and to make disciples that make disciples and make disciples. I'm thankful that he gave them that charge. You and I wouldn't be here today if Jesus didn't give the charge to go and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. You and I are a product of Jesus telling them in Matthew 28, go make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. His promise, is that he will be with us, especially as we when we walk in obedience. He said, look, I want you to make disciples. I want you to do these things, and I'm going to be with you. His presence is upon those that have obedience to his words. His presence is upon, can I say that again? His presence is upon those who are obedient to his commands. We see two different examples in the Bible. We see Jesus, the prototype. He's obedient to God. He says, I don't do anything I don't first see the Father. See, I'm completely in submission to the Father. We see, on the other hand, we see Adam. He gets disconnected from God's presence through disobedience. Right? You know the story. Adam and Eve and in the garden and with the fruit, and they disobey and they rebel against what God tells them to do. They have a different thought process. They think they know more. They're disobedient, and it causes a disconnect. It causes a disconnect. Jesus shows us the example of perfect obedience. And he comes alive with resurrection power. Jesus wants to show us the way to be aligned, obedient to the Father, full of life, full of power to do the things of purpose that we've been designed to do. Anybody want to excel in your purpose? I know that's me. I want to excel in my purpose. Anybody want to excel and be excellent and be successful in the things that God has called you to do? I want to do that. How do I do that? I line up with God. I line up with God. I say, God, how can I be obedient to what you want me to do in this season and the next season and the next season? I want to come alive, and I come alive through obedience to his word. I come alive through obedience to his word. I come alive by following in the footsteps of Jesus. He's the prototype. He's the example. He's the first fruit among many. If I can just be obedient to the Father like Jesus was obedient to the Father, I come alive to my purpose. I come alive. I feel more alive when I'm aligned with God. God wants to call us higher. There's something greater for you. There's something more. If you've been on the fence, there's something greater for you. If you've been thinking, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, there's something greater for you. The disciples had to leave their previous occupation to have a new occupation with Jesus. The disciples had to leave some stuff behind to do some new things. The disciples had to forsake what was behind them so they could be obedient to the calling of Jesus. What are you willing to leave behind to come alive? What are you willing to say, hey man, I'm going to put this in the past and come alive? Jesus wants to give you life. And life more abundantly. Jesus wants to show you resurrection power. Jesus wants to cause you to come alive. But you got to leave some stuff behind. You got to leave some stuff behind. You got to commit. Oh man. God changed the world through those 12 apostles. Came 11. Came 12 again, added Peter and Paul, right? 12 men changed the world. Yeah, they did. Because they came alive, because they committed to Jesus. What could you do if you really committed like never before in this season? What could you do? What could God do through you if you committed and you came alive? Oh, man. When you come alive in Jesus, And there's nothing like that. There is nothing like that. The questions start to fade into the background. The pain, God starts to heal the pain. The brokenness, God starts to heal the brokenness. You say, man, I was struggling with this before. God starts to work on that. If you say, man, I will commit to Jesus. That's where life is. That's where resurrection power is. It's not a casual, yeah, Jesus. It's Jesus, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. It's not a casual thing that Jesus did. On the cross, his love was extravagant. His sacrifice was the ultimate. But it caused us to come alive. And those that will receive him, and those that will follow him, and those that will chase after and pursue him. I find in our culture there's a difference between those who say, yeah, Jesus, and those who chase Jesus. Yes. Life, abundant life, comes from chasing Jesus. Yeah. Not just simple acknowledgement, but chasing. Yeah. What does it mean for you in this season of your life to chase him? What does it look like in this season of your life to chase him? Say, Jesus, I need you. Like David said, as the deer pants for the water, my soul is crying out for you. David is saying, man, I need you like oxygen. I need you like water. Like I'm thirsting to death in the desert. Man, I'm pursuing you, God. That's where life is discovered. That's where we come to life. That's where we are empowered. Let me tell you, in the upper room, those men and those women were walking that line. They were desperate for Jesus. They were desperate for this thing that Jesus promised. And God sent them the power to be world changers. What can God change through you? What can God change in you? What can God do through you? If you'll answer the call, go higher. Can you recklessly pursue Jesus? It's going to look reckless to other people, but it's life. It'll look reckless to other people, but it's life. David said to Micah when he came home, she said, well, what kind of king are you? Making a fool out of yourself in the street. And David said, look, you don't understand my relationship with God. I'll become even more undignified than this right here in my pursuit of God. That's life. That's life. That's what Jesus invites us into, a love affair with him. To be so caught up. God, I want to please you. It's not a book of rules. It's a love story. It's about falling in love with Jesus. It's about coming to life. Come to life. Come to life. Come to life. Come to life. It's an invitation. Come to life. Come to life. Jesus is calling you. Come to life. Don't just do the same thing you did last year. Come to life. I've got more for you. Come to life. I've got rest for your weary soul. Come to life. God has more. God has more. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I'm thankful that you came to earth. You left the luxury of heaven to come to earth and die on the cross. The most painful, the most dishonorable death for us, to redeem us, to wipe away our sins. And then 3 days later, you rose in all power to show us the picture of hope, to show us the picture of life, new life in God. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that we would have a willingness to be intercepted and redirected by messages that you're sending us. Give us a heart to say, God, intercept me. Change my course. I want it. I want you to intercept me and change my course. Let us hear what you want us to hear. Let us respond with boldness. Challenge us to have greater faith. Greater faith. Greater faith. And give us new perspective. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. I've kind of drifted in my faith walk, but I want to reconnect. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. Amen. 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 Maybe you even say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever really had that connection or had that commitment to Jesus like you're talking about. If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray for you too. Amen. That's real. That's real. If you slipped up your hand, or if you agree with this prayer, I want you to say this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your ultimate sacrifice on the cross to redeem my life, to wash away my sins, to give me a fresh start. And I'm sorry for my sins, my bad choices. I recognize I need you. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to give me the strength to walk in your footsteps, to live a life that pleases the Father. Help me do that. Walk with me. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.